Today we begin a new monthly feature. We are looking at science. Now, it's perhaps traditionally something that blind or partially sighted people have perhaps felt excluded from when it comes to studying or as a vocation. But we are going to blow that out of the water and we're going to talk a little bit about science. You'll bring it down to earth and have a chat. I've got some knowledgeable people in my round table over the next few months, and today we're going to chat a little bit about the Tactile Collider. Now, I don't know much about the world's biggest experiment. I do know a bit, though, about how an exhibition was created to go around the UK showing people with visual impairments all about science and the collider. But these guys know a lot more about it than I do. So we'll just introduce ourselves. We've got Robin, first of all.
My name's Robin Watson. I work for Thomason Memorial Sensory Support Service. I'm based in Bolton, and I've been working with the Tactile Collider team to make science accessible.
And we also have with us Chris.
Hi, I'm Chris Edmonds from University of Liverpool. I'm a lecturer in the Department of Physics, and I've been working on Tactile Collider too.
And we have Robert.
I'm Rob Appleby from the University of Manchester. I'm the project leader and creator of Tactile Collider.
Sounds a bit like University Challenge, doesn't it?
It does.
So let's first of all look at the Large Hadron Collider. What is it? What does it do?
The Large Hadron Collider is the world's biggest and most exciting science experiment ever constructed. It's built in Geneva in a large underground tunnel, and it's a particle accelerator. And so we take particles called protons, which exist in every atom that we're all made of, and in a large tube, we accelerate the protons to almost, but not quite, the speed of light. And we do that with two bunches of protons, one going clockwise around a 27 kilometre, so a very, very large underground ring, and one bunch of protons going anti-clockwise. And then at the Large Hadron Collider, we take these very, very fast-moving bunches of particles that have lots and lots of energy. Energy is what we need to create new particles, and we smash the high-energy protons. Now, in this big collision, there's so much energy available to these protons that the science experiment is all about using this energy to recreate the conditions of the Big Bang for a very, very small amount of time and to create lots of particles that only existed at that time, least freely in nature.
What do we learn from doing this? It sounds impressive when they come together, these atoms and molecules and so on, but what do they tell us? What was the purpose of Collider?
It's not cataclysmic because it's only for a tiny billionth of a second that we have the conditions of the Big Bang. So what it tells us is what the universe is made of. So we think the universe is made of little point-like objects, fundamental particles. We're not totally sure, but we're pretty sure that's the case. And these little particles build together to make things like atoms, plants, stars, all of us in this roundtable conversation. And we build the Large Hadron Collider and other particle accelerators like it to figure out how these particles work, what particles are there, and if we're really, really lucky, why that's the case.
So what has the collider found so far? What's been exciting about it?
The Large Hadron Collider is at the end of a chain of many, many different science experiments. It's the very latest one. And we started building it in the tunnel in 2001. And we actually stopped and ripped out an old collider called LEP, the Large Electron Positron Collider, to install the Large Hadron Collider. And we built it for many reasons, but one overriding reason was to find something called the Higgs boson, which was the missing piece of the puzzle in our standard model of the particle physics of the universe. So we needed to find if this Higgs boson existed. We thought it existed. The Higgs boson, the Higgs mechanism, is what makes everything like the proton and the electron be heavy, have mass. So we thought it existed theoretically. So we built the Large Hadron Collider to see if the Higgs boson was actually there. And if it was, we started to understand that our model of the universe in terms of particle physics was actually quite a good one.
Chris, how exciting was it for you to hear about the collider being created and the work that's been carried out so far and the discoveries, in fact?
When the LHC was being created, I was a lowly undergraduate student, so I was still learning about this stuff at the time. I remember as a PhD student, you know, there was rumours that they were about to announce the discovery of the Higgs boson, and that was all very exciting. Of course, within a few days, it was in the national media. And a number of years later, Peter Higgs was awarded the Nobel Prize. So there really was a lot of excitement about these discoveries.
Does that make up a lot of what you talk about now? Does that excite students at university?
I think it really captures the imagination of students, absolutely. But of course, there's a wider range of applications for these machines. So from cancer therapy to security and energy. And I think all of these combined, it really does excite students.
Robin, now you're involved with students with visual impairments. Is it fair to say that excitement perhaps hasn't been there in the past, but perhaps is growing now?
I think science is an exciting subject for all students, especially when they first start secondary school, because we start introducing things like Bunsen burners and pieces of equipment that they've not been introduced to necessarily at primary school. But I think sometimes with students that are visually impaired, some of that excitement's not passed on, which is why projects like Tactile Collider are really important, so that students with visual impairments can be involved in science that's exciting, sort of get a handle on it and understand that they have got the same opportunities as sighted students to access exciting stuff. A lot of the stuff that we do in Tactile Collider is not on the syllabus and not taught in secondary school, so it's all something new. And that makes it exciting as well when students come to visit.
Do you get a real sense that when they come to Tactile Collider, you know, perhaps their outlook on science has changed? That does it spark a greater interest?
Definitely. We did some research on some of the students that came to visit, and we asked them what their interest was in science before they started the project. And then we asked them again when they'd finished. And lots of them said that they felt that science was more exciting than they thought it would be, and that they felt that they were able to do something about it, and that if they wanted to pursue a hobby or a career in science, then they realised that it was something that could be made accessible to them if that's what they chose to do.
Robert, is it a real positive move from your perspective that something as colossal as this can be made so accessible?
Its origins were in an exhibition called Collider, which was LHC focused and came out a couple of years after the LHC found the Higgs, about 2015, I think it was. And I was involved in the Collider as a scientific consultant, but also I was there at the Museum of Science and Industry in Manchester on the night it was launched. So I was there for a panel discussion. And the museum told me that they have many visitors to their events in the museum, but not often a lot of content for the visually impaired. So I thought this time for Collider, we try and do something different. So I gave a bespoke tour to a couple who were visually impaired and found some bits of the Large Hadron Collider they could touch and feel. And it kind of just grew from there. It got a lot of interest very rapidly. So I thought there was something in this in terms of an exciting way to communicate the Large Hadron Collider to visually impaired people. And the funding people agreed with me, my funding council, STFC, and Tactile Collider was born. So rather than create materials and solutions for this audience straight away, we spent a whole year observing visually impaired people in the community, in schools, talking to consultants, learning how to audio describe, learning how to sight guide people. And in that time, we made no material. We just learned to listen to the audience. And that 1 year of doing that, in hindsight, was really important because that formed our understanding of how to best communicate this material non-visually.
Chris, tell us about your part in this then.
In terms of what I've done is I looked at some of the methods that were used for teaching this content. And we had some ideas as to how we should approach kind of sharing our love of accelerated science and particle physics. So one of the things that I did is look at the large props that we use. So we've got this model accelerator called Cassie. We do work with binaural audio as well. So these immersive sound situations that describe what it's like to be in a particle accelerator.
Robin, in terms of the exhibition going around and pupils getting hands-on, what was that like with your involvement?
I offered to meet up with Rob and Chris and with a couple of my students and a friend that I've got who's visually impaired to have a look at accessibility and how they could use the input on making things accessible. And it was meant to be just a couple of meetings. And then I said, shall I organise an event? And kind of the rest is history. And I seem to have organised quite a lot of them. And it was really good that lots of teachers of visually impaired from around the country were really excited when I contacted them and really happy that something had been designed that they could bring their students to that was specifically designed for them. So we've had a really good reception. We've been to quite a lot of different places. So yeah, it's been really exciting.
So when students came along or pupils came along who had visual impairments, what kind of things were there to greet them? What immersed them then?
We don't let them into the room where we've set things up when they first arrive. So we sort of corral them somewhere, and then they come into the room and they all are introduced to everything at the same time, because we obviously get a mix of students with varying visual impairments. And we start off, the very first thing we do is a little bit of embodied learning, which is where they become a part of a particle accelerator. And we all stand around Cassie, which is the model accelerator that Chris was talking about, and we hold hands and we become part of the particle accelerator. And I will send protons around the accelerator, one clockwise and one anti-clockwise, and wherever it collides, the student has to jump up and shout collision. And it sort of just warms them all up, because the students obviously don't know each other. Lots of them have come from mainstream schools where they might be the only student with a visual impairment there, so it's just to get them to know each other, and it gets them quite excited about what they're going to learn while they're there.
That drama that Robin was talking about, this kind of physical learning, has been a little unexpected success of Tactile Collider. So in the first events, we didn't have this part of it, but then we discovered embodied learning, which is, you know, using drama and physical movement to explain and get kids involved in the science. And this raised the energy levels of the event significantly. Our events in two halves, and learn about particles and magnets in the first half, then have a break, a half time, if you like, then a second half, where they learn about acceleration and the Higgs boson. And the inclusion of drama throughout the event, sort of integral part of the event, has really kept energy levels up. So that's been a lot of fun to deliver.
Chris, what's the feedback been like then for Tactile Collider?
So we've had children who thought that perhaps science wasn't for them, or not just the children, but the teachers too, you know, thought that they couldn't really teach science to young people with visual impairment. They've come to one of these sessions and see the way in which we've approached this problem and really made it something that was not just inclusive of VI people, but inclusive for many different types of people. And they've had a good time, they've enjoyed it. And these young people have gone away thinking that perhaps in future they want to be scientists.
Is that a fair point, Robin? Do you think that this will perhaps set some blind and partially sighted students on that path?
Yeah, definitely. A few that we've been, and mostly girls, which is great from my point of view, have said that they would really like to go on to study science or physics at a further level, which is fantastic. But I think the other thing it's done is made them realise that they can do science. And even if they choose not to take that up as a career, if they just have an interest in it, that's really, really important.
Some of these kids have never had scientists come into their school to them. And we found this to be a very, very positive aspect of the project.
Yeah, another thing that I found really positive is that it's been designed specifically for children with visual impairments. And I think quite a lot of the children who've come have really been excited by the fact that the project's been designed for them and that they're allowed to come to it, but their sighted friends haven't been invited to it. It's an unexpected outcome, but the kids have really felt sort of special, and that's one of the reasons that they really enjoyed coming. So that, I think that's quite exciting as well, realising that something that we've done has made the children feel that they're really valued and that we value their input. And they've also commented on how the scientists have all spoken to them as though they are, in quotes, normal people. That's what one of the children said to me, that quite a lot of sighted people speak down to them, but the physicists that were working on the project didn't. They just spoke to them like they'd speak to anybody else, and I think the students have really valued that as well.
Yeah, some really exciting feedback there, and some great progress as well, making science more accessible with the Tactile Collider. We'll be back again next month. We've got more from Robert, from Chris, and from Robin. But for now, guys, thanks for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.